Welcome to the Corona Premier Golf Show on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. I'm Darren Pritchett, John Foster, and Tim Firestone will join me in just a couple of moments. This is the final golf show for 2019. The Open Championship at Royal Portrush Golf Club in Portrush, Northern Ireland. Entering today's third round, J.B. Holmes and Shane Lowry lead the way at minus eight, two shots in front of Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood. Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth from the United States are at minus five. When the U.S. Senior Open was at Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, Tom Watson, who knows all about Open Championships, was asked about this year's venue at Royal Portrush in Portrush, Northern Ireland.
Wonderful, great golf course. I think it's... it's just a great example of a great links golf course. Ultimately fair, with no wind. I think they'll shoot pretty low. I think they can hide some of the flags even with no wind and keep them from going really, really low. But with the normal Irish winds there, it's going to be a test.
Did you get a sense of how big a moment this is going to be for that area, given the Open Championship?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it was. The sense from 2013 when they held the Irish Open there to, the sense from Darren Clark. I played with Clarkie here about a month ago. And he lives two drivers from the golf course right there. And he said that, the excitement that the people in Ireland have for this tournament is beyond, beyond the pale. I said that, they sold 45,000 tickets out in 6 weeks. Season tickets, first time they've done that. The RNA, I don't know if they're going to continue that template, but it will work it there. And I think that if you had a 20 mile an hour wind, that golf course is all you want. But it's ultimately it's fair, and the beauty of it is bar none probably the prettiest golf course over there that we play in the rotation.
Some of the notables that missed the cut: Rory McIlroy, 79 in the opening round, came back with a 65, missed the cut by one. And for the first time in their history, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson both missed the cut in the same major. Tiger shot 78-70, Mickelson 76-74. A conversation with John Foster, the GM of Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, coming up next on the Corona Premier Golf Show on WSBT. The golf show continues, brought to you by Corona Premier on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. I'm Darren Pritchett, traveling with the South Bend Cubs, and I'm now joined by John Foster, the general manager of Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. And this is our final time talking to John for the 2019 golf show season. John, good to be with you. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Darren. Nice to be speaking with you.
As well. Well, have you had a chance to catch your breath after the U.S. Senior Open?
Yeah. And obviously a lot of people have asked that question, but seriously, Darren, I basically enjoyed golf, watching golf that week. I mean, I had things to do and I did them, but I think, the preparation was so good from all parties involved. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. There was no chaos, and I just had a good time. That was the whole idea.
So. John, it did seem like the golf tournament ran very, very smoothly, other than a birdhouse being brought into the conversation. Other than that, really, I don't know if it could have went any better other than that rain that occurred on Wednesday, but just from a... the golf tournament unfolding and all the mechanics, it seemed to go very, very well.
It did, from the outside, which is the most important part from people, looking in, it appeared that way. And then from the inside, it was that way. We had rave reviews from the USGA. And more importantly, I think the players, in terms of, their aspects of the championship, they were pleased. They all loved the golf course. But the other things that they experienced while they were here, they were really unique. They're not used to doing the types of things we were able to offer them with the, having the campus here. And so, and the fans I've spoken with who were here had a great time. And I know the university officials, the leadership here I've spoken with, that were able to see it on TV and the calls that we've gotten from around the country and around the world, I think it showed very well on television too, Darren. So, it was good all around, buddy.
I'm with you. I thought the golf course looked spectacular. on television. It looked like a USGA golf course, and I think as the golf course played in the tournament number 17, the par 5, with that little bunker in front and the cameras behind the green, I just thought that was a spectacular look, and it made that hole look totally different to me.
It did. I think a lot of people failed to recognize what hole was being played for a couple reasons. I mean, as you know, we rerouted and played in a different order than most people are accustomed to playing the golf course. And then when you throw the stands and some of the other structures in, I know people were having trouble getting their bearings as to what was what. But
sure.
Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, John, though, I think the rerouting of the golf course made a whole lot of sense. Just as someone that had a South Bend Cubs game during the final round, I actually got out for the final nine holes of the Stricker-Toms group, and following them was so very easy with the routing. In fact, I really liked the way the golf course set up for the ending with the par 4, par 3, par 5, and then the par 4. I just thought it provided a good challenge at the end of the golf tournament. There was some risk-reward on the par 4 15 and the par 5 17. So I thought, even though the golf tournament was decided, Strickland was in control of the golf tournament, I thought the golf course played perfectly with the setup and with the way that the holes were routed. I thought that was a great way to end the golf tournament. And I think, as the plan was, it made for better walking for the fans. It was just a whole lot easier getting from hole to hole compared to if you'd have went 16, 17, 18 the way we play it.
Yeah, that was one of the big issues. And one of the unintended consequences of the routing, though, that we really didn't know until later, Darren, and if you think about it, okay, we had two pods of people here, basically. We had the people around the clubhouse with, you know, 12 being here, 13, the finishing holes, a lot of activity here. And then we had it out near the entrance, where you had the main entrance there. Then you had 16, 15, 16, 17, so on. Well, what happened on Sunday and Saturday, I think the heat had a lot to do with it. The majority of the people out on the west end of the golf course, the finishing holes, were parked in White Field. And because there wasn't really a close finish, as the leaders were coming around and heading towards this end, the clubhouse, they didn't follow because it's like, okay, I have to walk all the way up there. Then I got to walk all the way back out to my car in White Field. And it's a lesson learned. You know, if we'd ever do something again, we have a solution to that, I believe. But and it wouldn't be rerouting holes. It'd be doing with where our main entrance is and how we bring people into the golf course. So despite that, I mean, we still exceeded 100,000 people for the week, which was our goal. I think we could have done 115 to 120 had it not been 90 degrees and humid Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But despite all that, I mean, I'm nitpicking at this point. The players loved it. I thought it was interesting about the reroute was how difficult the second, third, fourth, and fifth holes played. Sorry, the third, fourth, fifth holes, which is our 18th, 10th, 11th, and 12th hole. I mean, the 11th hole was the longest par 3 in senior open history on Sunday. It played 250.
Wow.
And they were struggling. I mean, it was kind of fun watching them play that hole. I think only about 20% of the players hit the green. So despite the scores that you saw, it's not that easy.
No.
It made me want to start playing again. Evidently, it's really easy out there, according to the Stricker and to Tom's. But I think what you saw on Sunday was what we wanted to present through the whole championship, which was only three guys broke par on Sunday. We finally got the course dried out. And there weren't exactly tricky hole locations either. It's just the course was playing firm and fast, and it changed the whole complexion. But by then, a little bit too late.
Yeah, no doubt. The rain on Wednesday changed everything.
Yeah.
So from the standpoint, John, of Notre Dame being associated with the U.S. Senior Open, I'm sure there's probably, if you wrote down a list of four or five players you would have loved to win your championship, that would have been a great representative of your championship and a popular win, would Steve Stricker had fallen into that category?
Yeah, he'd been top three, I think, Darren, for sure, given his character, his Midwest roots, the way he deports himself, you know, on the golf course, off the golf course, and then the fact that he's still active on the regular tour, too. He would have been in the top three for sure.
In terms of the golf course. I'd be curious to know your thoughts. I thought the golf course played spectacular. I wonder, do you think if the USGA would have had it to do over, do you think they would have sped up the greens a little more?
I don't know. They had that opportunity. You know, it wasn't that they were afraid because they weren't healthy enough. I think, honestly, Darren, and they were, you know, the last day they were over 12 on the stint meter.
Yeah.
So it's what had happened, I think, and they underestimated because of the amount of moisture that was in the greens and the fact that they were so healthy that the growth that went on during the day kind of surprised them. So the groups in the afternoon were seeing slower greens because of the growth that occurred, and they're just not accustomed to that when you're normally under these dry, firm conditions. You know, the grass isn't growing that quickly throughout the day. So the other thing to bear in mind, and I talked to my superintendent, Matt, about this. I think he was frustrated sometimes that they weren't a little bit quicker. But the USGA's had a very successful championship season. They had a really successful Women's Open.
Yep.
We all know how well Pebble Beach did. Not one complaint from players in either place. They were so afraid to get to do something where the players might complain about course setup. I think they didn't say that, but that is my guess is what happened, you know. So, they weren't lightning fast, but I think had they gotten much quicker, some of our greens would have been unplayable, you know, championship one. They would be near that. And the hole locations, I thought they could be more aggressive on, and they weren't as well. I think that would have made more of a difference in the green speed. These guys really adjust to green speeds quickly, especially really fast greens, they felt well. But I thought there were some hole locations we could have utilized that would have maybe changed things a little bit. But, you know, despite all the second-guessing and 2020 vision into the past, Stricker was going to win. I don't care if the greens were at 6 or 16. He was definitely the best player on the course that whole week.
Yeah. And, you know, John, just bringing that up, that wasn't a complaint. That was just more about the golf course didn't have a whole lot of defense when it was so wet for the first couple of days, and that's why I kind of thought, boy, if they speed up the greens a little bit, maybe that would offset that. But I don't know anything about keeping greens healthy, so that was just a general dumb golf person wondering if that would have made any difference at all. So,
no, it's legit. I think it could have made a difference to some degree. People talk about the wet conditions, and they were like, well, you know, it didn't rain after Wednesday, but it was so humid, none of the water was leaking the soil. But more as much as the greens being softer, the fairways were soft. So you know how wide they are, and that's the whole design concept. The ball wasn't rolling out into the rough the way it would have had the fairways been firm. Very few of these guys played from the rough all week, and the rough was pretty nasty. It just was a non-factor. And the faster fairways are, the more narrow the fairways become. And so they took advantage of the width of the Coy Crenshaw design, and Ben and Bill were here that week, and actually I had, you know, some people ask them why didn't they tighten up the fairways for the championship. They're asking the USGA too, and Bentonville, that's not our design concept. You know, our concept is whipped off at the tee, lines into the green strategy, and had we narrowed those, number one, it wouldn't have been a true Coy Crenshaw, but then we'd have to put it back because, you know, we are a public golf course, and we'd be looking at 5.5-hour rounds out here if these fairways were as narrow as they thought they should have been. So, you know, again, it was a true Coy Crenshaw. The players loved it. And not only because a lot of them scored well on it, even the ones that didn't play well were very complimentary. And the word fair was used a lot, which went up as a compliment that the golf course was fair.
I said this to you after watching that golf tournament. I don't know how I ever broke 80 once on that golf course because it just seemed a whole lot tougher watching it on TV and watching those golfers out there. Maybe it was the USGA flags or the grandstands, but I don't know how I ever broke 81 that one time on that golf course, that's for sure.
Hey, well, you're just from your standpoint, different tee boxes too, by the way.
Yes, just a tad bit, just a little. From maybe a fun story or the favorite thing you saw during the U.S. Senior Open week at Warren Golf Course, is there anything that stands out to you, John?
One of the stranger things that happened, and you brought it up earlier, was the birdhouse incident, which I wasn't even aware happened. I heard it anecdotally from one of the USGA rules guys who was called in. And this has to do with, for people who aren't familiar, Darren Clark's caddy, Darren had, was in the rough on our championship 11th hole, and there was a birdhouse that he felt was in his line that he would be playing. And the USGA ruled that that was not the case. Well, he wanted it moved anyway, so he told his caddy to pull it out of the ground. He did unsuccessfully try, and then he started going back and forth trying to work it out of the ground. And in the process, a baby bird fell out of it, which most viewers didn't see. I had to go back and slow down the tape to see it. So he gets slapped a two-stroke penalty for, you know, not returning them. They were basically messing with an immovable obstruction is what it was. He gets slapped too. He goes crazy on the official. He's still griping all the way down to 12 green. And so I thought that was the end of it. So I got in the next morning and had a message on my voicemail from a lady from Chicago who told me that what she witnessed yesterday with the Darren Clark incident in the birdhouse was a violation of the Federal Migratory Bird Act, and she wanted the caddy arrested. And so, you know, what do you do? Well, I just so happened to be having lunch with the USGA and Bill Warren and Corin Crenshaw, and I asked Mike Davis from the USGA if he wanted to handle that one. He told me that they had a head of security here, and it was actually the guy was driving around Jack Nicklaus. That's the guy who was driving Jack. He's kind of his personal chauffeur whenever Jack shows up to these things. So I looked Don up, and I got to meet Jack Nicklaus, and that was the one time I got to speak with Jack, and I was explaining to Don, and Jack goes, "What?" He's like, "What happened?" And then I also asked Jack, I said, would you like to handle this? You've got a lot more credibility than me. Maybe she'd listen to you. And he goes, I don't talk to crazy people, John. So long story short, we were all laughing about it. And Sunday, Don, the security guy, comes up and says that it was indeed a violation of the Protected Species, the Migratory Bird Act. And he had actually contacted an agency in Washington, you know, that had to do with fisheries and wildlife. And the guy said it didn't rise to the occasion of a of an arrest, but it could have. And so that's probably my story of the week. I spent a good 3-4 hours trying to deal with it, but there was no way I was going to call her back. So eventually they did call her back, and she was satisfied with the rule.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. So there you go.
Well, I have a feeling that birdhouse may have some pictures taken with it, possibly, with people coming through, that's for sure.
I think so.
A couple more to wrap things up here. First, what has the reaction been to people playing the golf course following the U.S. Senior Open playing a setup very similar?
Well, I mean, there was a couple things that came from it, and this was planned, and thankfully it's happening the way we thought. The demand is just through the roof to play the course. And
Good. And
I don't think it's necessarily a short-term thing, Darren. I mean, it is now. But I don't see this, you know, slowing down much into the future. And it obviously we wanted to raise the profile of the place, but it showed so well on TV. The players were so complimentary. And here's the real – when I spoke with Faxon and Strange a number of times throughout the week, they had questions and stuff. And I told them what the green fee was here, and Brad said on air, he said, you know, I got to believe this is the best golf value in the United States to be able to play a core Crenshaw course for what you can play here, and the fact that it's public. Well, you cannot believe the people that have called and are out here playing and have been for the last 3 weeks, because they had no idea this is a public golf course. So, and the value that you do get, we've had people who canceled golf trips to other areas of the country and came here because they saw it on TV. So the immediate response, I mean, our business, we're turning people down right and left to play the golf course, which is, that's not going to continue forever, but I think you're going to see a ratcheting up of the demand for the course, and that's exactly what we wanted to do with the championship.
How exciting.
That's awesome. Pretty cool.
That is fantastic news. Final question for you. Open championship at Portrush, which is, I think, a fantastic golf course, a very fair. round of golf for these guys, although yesterday, the second round, there was no wind, so it was kind of defenseless. So some pretty good numbers were shot, but you've got J.B. Holmes and Shane Lowry at the top, Fleetwood and Westwood one back, and then you got Rose at six, Spieth at five, Koepka at five. Let me just get your reaction to the golf course, and how do you think this is going to play out this weekend?
You know, I like the look of it, and based upon the player feedback, I think they the same thing you said, Darren. They all love it. They think it's fair. You know, there's always an element of chance and luck on links courses, but this one here, even though it's lengthy, it's all strategic as far as where you put the ball, what you hit, and like you said, the elements weren't exactly punishing these guys. But I think the weather's supposed to turn the last 2 days of the championship, and I don't expect the scores to be the way they are now. I mean, I think they'll still go lower, but I don't think they're going to, you know, I think what's leading 8 under, we're not going to see 16 under. I think in the 10 to 12 range, again, if the weather turns, but it's really cool to see on TV. I it's hard to tell having not played it, but you got to trust what the players are saying, and as we said earlier, they're not shy about criticizing something they don't like.
And I'll tell you what, John, that little area between your ears can really affect a person, even a great player like Rory McIlroy, who shot 61 on that course as a 16-year-old, the favorite. Everybody wanted to talk to him, and he goes out and makes a quad on the first hole. He goes 79, 65, and he's going to miss the cut by one shot. And so it just shows you excitement, your brain working too much can affect the golf swing. It's remarkable.
There is no doubt, and I feel so sorry for the guy because he was, you know, him and McDowell and Clark to a certain extent were instrumental in getting this thing there. And I know Rory was so looking forward to, playing well, which he did with the exception of the first three holes. I believe the first three holes, four holes, he was 7 over. And I think for the rest of the championship, you know, if you take the 65 he shot on Friday, he was below par. So it was really hard to watch, too. You know, like you said, it's between the ears. Although his swing was off yesterday, but I think that was a function of, or on Thursday, was a function of the nerves and trying so hard.
And Clark was even going to his 18th hole Friday, and he made triple and missed the cut. And he was very brisk going off the golf course, to say the least.
Yeah,
well, for the final time
you almost thought there had been a birdhouse there or something. You know?
I was glad the caddy wasn't in handcuffs. I did actually look when the first round got started.
You know, Brad Faxon texted me on Sunday night, and he said, are you going to have Clark's caddy arrested, or did you spare him? And I texted back that we let the caddy off the hook, but we're deporting Clark back to Ireland. So... So Brad was heading over to Wimbledon, and then he said he would pass it along to Darren if he happened to see him when he was in the UK.
That'd be great. Well, John, for the final time, why don't you tell our listeners what's happening at Warren? I think we just kind of mentioned how busy you've been, but why don't you pass along all the details, what's coming up the rest of the golf season?
Well, you know, we're really busy. You know, there's still availability, but, you know, we take tee times 14 days out. I would recommend people in the 14-day advance, you know, rolls around, give us a ring, but we're still in great shape. The non-playable areas, they're still, you know, taking structures down and it's beat up, but as far as inside the ropes, it's great right now, you know. Of course, it's never been better, so come on out and play us.
Congratulations to you and Matt and the entire staff. What a fun week. It was a thrill to watch it, to be a part of it, and I hope we get the chance to do it again. I'll just say that.
Yep. Me too, Darren.
Very good.
All right, buddy.
Hey, John,
thank
good
you.
To be with you this golf season, and we will talk to you again soon.
You got it. See ya.
That's John Foster, the general manager at Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. We'll come back with more of the Corona Premier Golf Show in just a moment. Tim Firestone will join me next. He's from Blackthorn, of course, on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Welcome back to the Corona Premier Golf Show on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. I'm Darren Pritchett, traveling with the South Bend Cubs in Beloit, Wisconsin. It'll be South Bend and Beloit tonight at 8:05. It'll be very steamy here in Beloit, to say the least. I'm joined by Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn Golf Club, Signal Point in Niles, Michigan, for our final visit of the Corona Premier Golf Show season for 2019. Tim, how are you?
Good, Darren. How are you? I can't believe another season is being wrapped up here. It's kind of weird that this is the last major in July. I don't know how I feel about that.
You know, I was thinking the same thing Friday watching the second round of the Open Championship. They were remarking that this is it for the major golf season. I think the FedEx Cup is just so anticlimactic that it kind of feels like the golf season is ending. And I hope that's not bad for the golf industry, because it feels like, Tim, sometimes when there are big moments in golf that we see on TV, people want to go out and play. Like when Tiger won the Masters, there was a little surge, it seemed like, in the golf industry. So I hope that doesn't mean something negative is coming for the golf industry with really nothing to get excited about. You got the President's Cup coming up, but outside of that, it feels like the Masters is the next big event.
I know, especially with Tiger and Rory not playing great in the British, and I agree with you. I mean, it's definitely going to be an interesting fall to see, you know, how people respond to that. And I mean, the President's Cup, as we've talked about before on the show, is just, I don't even know who watches it. You know what I mean? Unless you're a real diehard golf fan. You know, I just don't, it doesn't generate a lot of excitement, I don't believe. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But first things first, let's cool the temperatures down first. That would help.
Yes. Yeah, heat index of 110. Not great. But over there in Northern Ireland, Tim, Royal Portrush Golf Club, we have not seen this golf course in the rotation for the Open since 1951. Of course, Northern Ireland has had their issues through the years, and now a safer place to be, and the Open Championship is back. I'd just like to know first, what do you think of the golf course and how it's held up so far this week?
I think it's awesome. I think it is a great golf course, great venue. What I like about it, Darren, is that there's holes that you can make birdies, and there's a lot of opportunities out there. The fifth hole, drivable par four for the guys, and the par fives are definitely birdie holes. But then you have some of those number 14 and 18 that are just monsters, where there's obviously a lot of big numbers up there. I mean, if you look at Phil, Tiger, I mean, Rory played great Friday. But Adam Scott, plus seven. I mean, there's a lot of great elite players. Yeah. That this golf course has come up and bit them in the rear end. But I love it. I think it's a great golf course.
Tim, we go into the third round. You've got J.B. Holmes at minus eight, Shane Lowry at minus eight, Fleetwood and Westwood are one back at minus seven. J.B. Holmes is a really interesting story. Here's a guy that was on the varsity golf team as a third grader. He lettered 10 times in golf because he was on the high school golf team. In third grade, he went overseas and actually played some links golf and went to the University of Kentucky. This is a guy that's been, you know, pretty good for years, but he's been quiet for a while. He's been struggling. I heard him say in an interview he went to the Dominican to go play in the winds to try to figure out his golf game. Not something all of us do when we're struggling, but whatever works for the professionals. I'd just like to know what you think about Holmes and Lowry so far atop the leaderboard and their chances this weekend.
Well, I mean, look, JB bombs the ball, and obviously he's hitting the ball straight. He has that little cut and control. If he's keeping the fairway, he's going to be competitive. I think if I look at that leaderboard, for me, I'm kind of rooting for Lee Westwood. You know, I mean, the guy that's never won one, you haven't heard about him forever. I think, one shot back or something, maybe two shots back. But he's kind of my guy that I'm rooting for on that leaderboard. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, those guys, Lowry and JP, never really – I think JP had a good year, what, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where he finished third at the Masters, I think, or had a couple top tens in the majors. But I don't know. It's not that exciting of a leaderboard. Once you get down there, Spieth, I think, is up there, and a couple guys that could make it interesting. But I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun to watch just because there's so many birdies out there.
You ever heard of this Brooks Koepka guy right now that's at minus five?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, he goes and plays in a regular tour event and, you know, barely makes the cut. But every time there's a major, the guy shows up and is always in the hunt. And, I mean, again, the rounds are out there. I mean, even with the weather and the blowing, I mean, these guys are still scoring. The golf course is so soft and so moist that they're able to, you know, hold these greens. And, you know, Koepka could easily go out and shoot a 64 or 5 and put himself right in the lead. So,
Tim, you take a look at some of the guys that – yeah, no doubt. Some of the guys that missed the cut. Rory McIlroy went 79-65, missed the cut by one shot. Let's go to Tiger Woods, 78 on Thursday, plus 7. Came back yesterday with a 1-under par 70, missed the cut at plus 6. Tim, it sure seems like after he won the Masters, he has not been the same player. It took a lot of effort for him to win that championship. We heard about he was getting up at 4 a.m., working out, trying to get his back ready to play in each round of the Masters. And you just wonder, I don't know if he's ever recovered from winning the Masters. He has not looked the same. And physically, he did not look like a guy that really had a chance to win this Open Championship.
No, I mean, especially Thursday. I mean, I think the commentators were even mentioning it on TV as I was watching that he just was not moving well. You know, he didn't seem healthy. It seemed like Friday's round, he kind of got it going a little bit, but then, you know, couldn't sustain it. But I agree. And I think if you think about the emotion and the grind of what it took him to come back and win another major, I mean, I think you can see why that could, you know, put him in his place. I think also just physically, he's just not feeling great. And I think that, you know, what does that mean? I mean, and he's kind of in this double-edged sword where he's not playing competitive golf. How do you get ready for the majors? But yet when he plays in too many tournaments, he can't hold up. So it'll be an interesting 2020 to see. Obviously, he'll get a lot of rest and ready to go for the Masters again. And I think he probably believes that's his best chance to win, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
As he chases down Jack. But it sure doesn't seem at this point, Darren, that he's got the physical tools to be able to hang in there and make a real run at Jack's record.
Augusta, no cold temperatures, no rough. Good chance for Tiger to win there. And finally, Mickelson goes 76-74. Have you ever thought about fasting for 6 days, 1 week before a major, to try to change your body shape and your luck on the golf course?
I've never fasted for 6 hours, let alone 6 days. But I, you know, he is such an interesting guy. And I think I've even mentioned this before to you, and I know you've always been a big fan, but I never was until recently. And the guy now, I mean, his Instagram account and his fireside Phil chats and his personality, I have become a huge fan of Phil's and rooting for him. But I think he's at that age where he's going to try anything to stimulate somehow winning another major, you know?
Without a doubt. Yeah, he's got some work to do, to say the least. Let me just switch gears for a second. The U.S. Senior Open, Steve Stricker won at Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. How much did you enjoy watching Stricker go around that golf course and make it seem like it was awfully easy? Except on Sunday, it toughened up a little bit.
Yeah, I think if all four rounds would have been like it was Sunday, it would have been a lot different tournament, no doubt about it. So I feel, you know, bad for Matt and for John and in that regard. But, you know, they did a great job. What a great facility, great tournament. Everything was ran well. Everybody I've talked to in the community had a great time going out and watching. And I think we might have, you know, again, I made the comment, I forget if it was to you or not, but I feel like Stricker played so well that week, he could have won on the PGA Tour. I mean, he just had it dialed in. And you combine that with the soft conditions of the golf course, and yeah, obviously he went pretty low out there.
When you think about Stricker winning, if you were the person running Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, how happy would you be that a guy like Stricker is sort of the face now of your golf course after winning a major championship there?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, I think that if, you know, again, all champions, anybody that can win at that level is obviously terrific golfers. But to have a Midwestern guy like him who's so well-respected be your champion, I think is pretty neat. I know that the senior PGA, you know, has had a couple winners that we've never really heard of before. So I think for the cream of the crop, and even with Jerry Kelly, you looked at that leaderboard at Notre Dame, it was all of the who's who's. There was really no, you know, kind of I won't say no names, but not as familiar names. So I think what a great champion for Notre Dame and for the U.S. Open and for the USGA.
Tim, how was Blackthorn affected by Warren Golf Course hosting this championship? From the standpoint, there was a golf course a lot of people play that was unavailable for a couple of weeks. Did you have a lot of new faces at Blackthorn?
Yeah, and I think it was definitely most notable during the tournament week. We had a significant amount of out-of-town golfers that were shipping clubs in and trying to get a couple rounds in as they were watching golf too. So that was definitely an impact for us, which was great. We were fortunate at Blackthorn to just kind of always be so busy. It's hard to really tell whether or not we picked up rounds during those weeks they were closed prior to the tournament. But definitely week of, we saw a significant impact.
Final time we'll get a chance to talk to you for this golf season. Anything you want to mention about coming up at Blackthorn or Signal Point right now?
Well, I mean, obviously, this warm weather is a challenge, but we're getting through it. We've got several events. We've got Coaches versus Cancer coming up here in August.
Yeah.
One of our biggest events on August 6th. Hard to believe. I think it's our 19th year doing this, Darren. But that's always a great event. And, you know, the golf course is open. Signal Point's in great shape as well. We've lowered the rate to Signal Point. I would encourage everybody to check out blackthorngolf.com or signalpointclub.com. We've got some new rates trying to stimulate some more rounds up there. But love to have you come on out and enjoy either one of our facilities. And then also keep in mind, Topgolf is open at 5 o'clock every night of the week except Sunday. So when it's too hot outside, you can always go into the air condition and hit some balls inside.
I was going to ask you about that. This is kind of a new venture, not an outdoor golf setting, an indoor golf setting. What have you learned about that industry, being a part of that now for a few months?
Well, again, I think for us, it was really for this business to work is we were going to have to attract the non-golfers. We needed the kids coming in there for birthday parties, and we needed the, you know, bachelor parties that were, you know, that could play the other games and not just be your hardcore golfers, and we've seen that. So it's neat to see how all the different games are being utilized, and it's not just your golf fanatics utilizing the facility, and that's what it's going to take for us to be successful there. So we're seeing that, and hopefully that continues to grow. And if you look at the reviews and the responses that we're getting, both on the technology and on the food, have been fantastic. So that's encouraging. And I know Topgolf at a corporate level is really excited about what they're seeing, and looking forward to this winter of how we can really grow that business. So.
All right, so how many times have you played golf this year?
Well, unfortunately, I think I've got 9 holes in.
Oh.
With nothing on the calendar until Coaches versus Cancer. And I don't know if you can kind of scramble as a playing golf either. You know what I mean?
True.
So I think I got to, first of all, let's get the temperature back down. And, you know, then I can consider getting out there. As soon as you do, we'll make it.
Okay,
we'll make
you know
a
what?
Date together.
We haven't done a Foster, Firestone, Pritchett threesome in probably about 4 years, so maybe we can pull that off one day.
We should do that, and we can take notes for next year's league kickoff show.
Well, that could be put on Facebook Live, and that could be a show in itself.
Not live.
Unreal. There you go. Hey, Tim, why don't you just pass along the phone numbers if people want to set up a tee time or maybe instruction or want to learn more about Topgolf? What are the phone numbers people should know?
The best number to call is 232-4653. That's the number to Blackthorn, but our phone system can connect to any of the facilities. We can book tee times at any of the facilities right from Blackthorn. So that would be the best number. I would encourage everybody to call to see how we can help you out.
Very good. Tim, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for joining us once again on the Golf Show, presented by Corona Premier, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again next year.
That sounds great, Darren. Take care.
That is Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn and Signal Point. We'll wrap up the Corona Premier Golf Show next from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. I'm Darren Pritchett back on the Corona Premier Golf Show on WSBT Radio. That concludes our season. A special thanks to people behind the scenes for making the show possible. Matt, Jerry, John, Cal, and Garrett. Thanks to my co-hosts, John Foster, the general manager at Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, and Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn and Signal Point in Niles, Michigan. Always a pleasure talking golf with you, the golf fans in the Michiana area. Enjoy golf the rest of the year. We'll talk to you next spring. This has been the Corona Premier Golf Show from 96.1 WSBT South Bend, the sports leader.